Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Flavor Living Radio. This is Brian, your host on Blog Talk Radio. Today, guess what? We caught up with the CEO of Evolution Burger, Han S. Yes, their headquarters are out of Arlington, Virginia, and they are the largest organic burger restaurant in the country. So this is a good informational interview. Learned a lot. I hope you guys let's just relax and welcome back to Flavor. And here is Hans Hess from Arlington, Virginia, and Evolution Burger.
Okay, welcome to our show, Evolution Radio. And today we have a guest. He's from the first largest organic burger restaurant establishment chain in America. Now it's 39
right now? We have 43 stores.
43 stores. His name is Mr. Hans Hess. He's the CEO and the owner of Elevation Burgers. How are you doing?
Doing good. How are you doing today?
All right. Well, welcome to our show. Well, first of all, I just wanted to kind of like, your location's from Northern Virginia,
right? Headquarters? Where our headquarters is, right?
Yes, but you're originally from the West Coast.
That's right.
So how did you, can you first start off by telling us how did it start from the West Coast and then went back to the East Coast?
Well, in 1999, I moved to Washington, D.C. I hadn't founded Elevation Burger yet.
Okay.
And I was living in the nation's capital and got married in 2002, thinking about having kids. And decided that, you know, I wanted to have a healthier burger for my kids, basically.
Wow.
And so my wife and I opened up the first location in 2005 and had our first child 2 months after we opened the store.
Respect. Wow. Now, so basically the first store opened up in September 2005. But, you know, I wanted to ask a question, like some groundwork. This is new for me and new for everybody, and I think this is going to be a current, big-time trend. Can you explain to us what monoculture is and polyculture is, as far as farming? You know, you tell us the groundwork for this? You know?
Yeah, absolutely. So monocultures are the way most of the food in America is grown, and so the vegetable version of that would be like those endless rows of corn that you see in Iowa or somewhere. And the part of the word mono just means one. And so what they're doing is they're growing one kind of crop at a time over a huge amount of land. The animal version is, you know, like a concentrated animal feeding operation or CAFO, where they have, you know, thousands and thousands of pigs that eat out of a trough, and they'll usually feed them grain.
Mm-hmm.
And the cows, this is especially true also, but feed them grain. And so this isn't the way, really, nature manages its animals and plants. Nature manages animals and plants through what's called a polyculture.
Hmm.
And what that means, in the grasslands in Africa or even in the United States are good examples of this, where animals that have a ruminant stomach animals, those animals eat grass and their stomachs are designed to eat grass. Mm-hmm. If they eat a lot of grain, they'll get sick. So those animals are designed to eat grass, and then those animals spread nitrogen fertilizer back in the field through their waste elimination process, right, mm-hmm. through their manure. And what you have is a really robust cycle that allows for both plants and animals to coexist. And that's a polyculture. And in that case, what I was just describing is an unmanaged polyculture.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we've done is we've replaced that cycle of animals providing nutrient back into the soil. We've cut that cycle off. And so instead, all our plant material, those rows and rows of corn that you see or wheat, all that is grown with fertilizer that is derived from natural gas, the petroleum-based fertilizer. So we've literally sliced the cycle into parts, and we've substituted, chemically petroleum-based fertilizers for the work that the animals would do.
Wow, so like Mother Nature.
Exactly. And so the result is that animals get sick because they're not really meant to eat, like cows, for instance. Their stomachs aren't designed to process grain. But we feed them grain because they gain weight more quickly. And so they're able to take them to market more quickly. But they also get sick, so they have to feed them an antibiotic. And when they feed them an antibiotic, what that does is it produces bugs who become resistant to that antibiotic. So in 1999, when I first learned about this problem when I worked on the Hill, about 10,000 people a year would go to the hospital and would have a common bacterial infection. They'd give them antibiotics thinking it would treat them of the infection, and it didn't. The person died, about 10,000 people a year. That number's up to about 250,000 a year now. So the use of antibiotics needs a big problem, and that's a direct result of monocultural farming where the animals are being fed.
I heard this phrase, with research, and it says our monoculture is our diet. It's our current diet in America. And what's going on now,
Yeah.
So goes our diet is equal to monoculture.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, everything we eat, I'd say a fair amount, 99% or more of the stuff produced in the United States, the food produced in the United States.
Wow. So now we're at Elevation Burger. The beginning of Elevation Burger in September. And you start, I like when couples come together to work together. And you have a partner like yourself, both you guys and team, that started this.
Right.
This whole concept. Now, how did that come about? Like your first one, your first store and the first idea, you went to basically change the, get the concept going. How did that start? The first year.
Well, the first year I worked 100-hour weeks, and my wife had just had our first child. She would come and help as she could in those first 2 months before she had the baby. But it was really hard, especially after she had our daughter Elizabeth. So I worked very long hours, and eventually got some other folks trained, and my time decreased over the course of what. 2 years. I was down to a normal work week by the end of 2 years. And then my wife actually came and took it over, and she managed it for the next 2 years.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, you're in, you said 43 states, and I saw that you are also...
43 locations.
43 locations, and you're in the Middle East.
That's right. Yeah, 10 of those locations are in the Middle East.
That is that must have been really unique to... get that going. But before I ask that question, I want to talk about the menu. I have a couple of buzz phrases and words, and you can just tell everybody, if when you go to Elevation Burger, tell us about exactly what they'll find on the menu. So the Elevation Burger itself, tell us about that burger.
Everything you'd want to know. So tune in now and start listening.
welcome back. We have more to our interview. So more from Hans Hess. We're starting getting into the, you know, the story of Evolution Burger as far as the different types of items on their menu. Just the way, their concept of how things work there as far as when you go into the restaurant anywhere in America or overseas, and just how the employees work, the managers work. So here's our part two of the Evolution Burger here on The Flavor.
The Elevation Burger itself, tell us about that burger.
Yeah, the Elevation Burger is two 3.2-ounce patties, very juicy, very high-quality grass-fed beef, organic also. And we put normally two slices of six-month-aged cheddar cheese on it. So it's just an incredible-tasting burger. Nobody can touch the taste of our burger because nobody uses grass-fed organic beef. So it's really excellent. And then you can put, you know, the normal toppings on it. We've got some special sauce and caramelized onions, bacon, mushrooms, that kind of stuff.
Wow. Now, yeah, because I'm not going to lie, YouTube has some videos. And I saw every one of them, all of the YouTube videos that tasted the Elevation Burger. They were like, this is good. You can just taste all the flavors. I saw, you know, just as far as the reviews.
Yeah. That's a good reaction. Pretty common reaction, yeah.
How about the Vertigo Burger?
Vertigo Burger.
Yeah. Come on, tell us about this.
That burger is basically, you can stack up as many patties, up to 10 patties if you want to.
Okay, so you can't go 11. You cannot go to 11.
No, this one doesn't go to 11. maybe it should. That's funny. The Vertigo Burger is just kind of a fun thing for people who may be on a diet that requires a lot of protein. And so there's different kinds of athletes require high amounts of protein. So they will, from time to time, do that. And I suppose we probably have somebody who likes to indulge every once in a while.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah. We have a pretty, our message is about health. And that's great, but we also recognize that people want to have fun.
Some fun, yeah. With health and fun, that's just a good combination that needs to be more out here in America, everywhere, you know. So, how about Half the Guilt Burger? Yes, I saw that too.
Yeah, so we have two veggie burger patties, and, you know, it just made a lot of sense to sell a sandwich that had one of those veggie burger patties plus one meat patty. So if you're kind of undecided or you're not sure whether you want the meat or the veggie burger, you get the best of both worlds. And those are fantastic.
That's where the word guilt comes in. Right?
Half the guilt, meaning, you know, if you're feeling guilty about eating a lot of meat, then, you can cut your guilt in half. Or if you're feeling guilty about eating a lot of vegetables.
Okay. I like that. Now, you know, another thing I saw was another buzz phrase, fancy fries. Yes. Can you break down the fancy fries?
Yeah, fancy fries are just our normal fries, but we do a twist on it. You can put cheese on it, so we melt cheese onto the top of it, and then you can put any of the toppings on it. So popular toppings are caramelized onions, and that's the special sauce, or, you know, we've had people put pickles on it.
Wow.
That's very good, but you can do whatever you want. The fancy fries means you can take all those toppings that are on the topping board for your burger, and you can put them on your fries. And usually, almost always, everybody starts with cheese, and then you build on top of that. So basically, cheese fries with bacon, with caramelized onions, mushrooms. You can put mayonnaise on it if you want.
It's almost like a pizza. You like how you design the pizza?
I know.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Your milkshake. You know, that is one, you know, I've tried some milkshakes before, but I heard that you guys, yours is really, I mean, really good with the burger, you know, with the Evolution Burger. Elevation Burger.
Yep. Now, they're great. Milkshakes are hand-scooped, so they use a really good ice cream, blueberry ice cream, and, you know, we scoop it out, we put it in the cup, and then we use a little bit of milk, and there's different things you can mix into it. Oreo cookies, strawberries, blueberries. My personal favorite is chocolate ice cream, with Oreo cookies and cheesecake.
Wow.
Organic cheesecake that we use, and that is a phenomenal milkshake, chocolate Oreo.
Wow, at the end of the day, you're like, after going through some work at the end of the day, you will have a happiness about you after that.
Man, I want one right now. I might have to cut this interview.
Hold on now. All right. Now, as far as, picking the members and the co-workers on your staff, that, as far as our interview, how did that go, the process go about as far as starting different branches? I heard this, there was this buzzword I heard, it was called PALS Business Excellence Institute. And how did that help out, or did you, was that the process of, just the whole process of finding the staff to work at all the locations, finding good people?
Right, so we're a franchise concept, so we have owner-operators in each city,
okay. And
those owner-operators are the ones who do the hiring, and sometimes they use certain tools that help understand how a team will fit together.
Mm-hmm.
So we're always looking for a better tool. We're always looking to improve on that because a lot of the success of the stores depends on how those team members work together. So we use a variety of tools. We're testing a new one here pretty soon. But, yeah, we've used TradeSet in the past that helps us, and some operators use another one that I can't remember at the moment, but some other tests. But, yeah, it's all about getting the right team in that store.
Yeah, just everywhere, I was looking at the, notice of your locations there, and a couple of them were in college towns, like Ann Arbor and Austin and Raleigh, North Carolina. Now, those are big, known for college towns, Now, are a lot of the young adults, they're just kind of, studying, you need to have healthy food, you need to do some good studying. A lot of the young adults just kind of gravitating towards the health foods in the college towns that you're in?
Yeah, we do well in college campuses and in those college towns because, there's a lot of awareness among folks who are going and getting an education. There's a lot of concern about the food supply. There's a lot of concern about what they're putting in their bodies. So they tend to have a higher awareness. And, everybody loves burger, right?
Yeah.
So if you want a burger, why not have the one that's the best for you? It's not commodity beef. About that factory farm stuff, antibiotics or hormones or something like that. It's actually beef that was raised the way it's supposed to be raised.
I wish you guys have to have a franchise in Hampton Roads. You got to come up to me. You got to come down a little bit here,
That's right. Maybe someday.
Yeah. Now, tell us how you got started in the Middle East. How does that work out?
Well, we had a guy come to us. He had gone to school in North Carolina. He is from Kuwait, and he went to school in North Carolina for college, and he came back to the U.S. to visit some of his friends who are stateside, and he went to an Elevation Burger, and he realized that this would be an awesome concept to take to Kuwait, and so he came to us, asked us for a franchise. We really liked him and thought he'd do a good job, and he did. He took it over there, and he's done great with the concept over there. He's a good representation of the brand overseas. He runs his stores really well and is very successful. And once he had his first store up and running, he had other people from the Middle East and the other countries over there and from the Gulf region wanting to buy franchises and open them up in their countries.
Wow. I can see, just the different cultures coming in from, Dubai and since that's a really international country city,
Yeah.
Well, now, there was a book I saw. It was by Dave.
What's that?
There's a book called Eat It to Beat It.
Eat It to Beat It, yeah.
Yeah, there's a book they were mentioning about eating smart by
right.
Dave. His last name is Zin.
I'm not sure how to say his last name.
Zin.
I know you're talking about.
Oh, Zinchenko. And he was talking about eating smarter,
Right.
Now, do you foresee more food items out here that is going to? You'll see more inventions like your company.
Yeah, absolutely. The whole industry is trying to understand how to provide healthier options right now. We did that. We started that in 2005, and we were probably, I would say we were probably the first concept to actually take the ingredients seriously, to take the fact that we, you know, use a high-quality ingredient that actually is better to put in your body. Mm-hmm. We were the first one to really take it seriously.
You know, because I saw also you have also a healthy cab company there too.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, Enviro cab company where it's healthy as well there too.
Yeah. We actually sold that earlier this year, but we did start that in 2007, and that was another one of our projects that was trying to do a similar thing, which is take care of the environment and leave the Earth in a better spot. As much as it's in our control, we want to leave it in a better spot for our children than it is right now.
I just think it's awesome that you started this concept, and I hope it just wins fires and just takes off, you know.
Thanks, man.
You know, thank you for being on our show on Elevation. Now, where can we find, we have a new restaurant directory, and we want you guys on our directory.
Great.
You know, so people can find you guys and the new, are you going to be opening up more or is this going to be a new location?
Yeah, we'll continue to grow. I don't know when we'll get to your area specifically.
Well, I will have to drive to get just to get that milkshake you were talking about. I'll have to drive.
That's right. Okay. I think you might have to come visit D.C. or Northern Virginia.
Can you tell our listeners where to find you, like online or how to find you?
You go to www.elevationburger, and there's a list of all our locations there in the U.S. and the Middle East.
Thank you for being on Flavor Living Radio, on our show. Is there anything you'd like to tell our listeners? Do you have the stage?
Grass-fed taste best, man.
All right. The truth is known. The truth be known.
All right, Brian.
All right, thank you for being on the show.
Have a good one.
Hey.
Bye-bye.
Well, thank you for listening to Flavor Living today. And we'd like to thank our guest, Hans Hess, from Evolution Burger. I mean, that is like I did not even know. I have learned there's a new organic burger restaurant chain in the United States and overseas. I mean, hey, can you imagine stacking your burger 10 levels high and milkshakes that are fresh ice cream scoops? Come on, you can't. That's awesome. And just the phrase, I want to study more of this phrase. I hope you guys want to. Polyculture. That's a healthy trend phrase right there. Polyculture. Listen, this segment that we're going to do on Flavor Living, it's from a person from a radio station, an owner of a radio station in L.A. gave us a name, phrase called Food for Thought. So we are going to start this segment called Food for Thought, where you can basically, if you give as far as food, if you have a charity, an organization, you're helping, and also our radio station is going to be also helping too. Well, on Food for Thought, this month, we want to help out Charleston, West Virginia with bulk bottled water. We want to send them bottled water. If you guys have, been tuned in at the news lately, they've had a chemical spill that happened there in Charleston, West Virginia, and surrounding counties. And basically, a lot of their water is not right at the moment. So they're trying to get it back. They're trying to get it back slowly but surely. But we want to help them out with sending more bottled water. You know, we want to help out the schools, the families, the hospitals. I mean, we all need water. We need water to for drinking, cooking, for bathing, and cleaning. So this is our goal. If you go to our website, flavorliving.com, you go to the you'll see a light bulb there. Click on the light bulb. It'll take you to our Food for Thought area. Donate 1 cent, 5 cents. Donate to help in the cause to bring bulk water to Charleston, West Virginia, and the counties, just to help us out. For 30 days we want to do this, and this is our food for thought for our Flavor Living Radio. This is what we want to do, you know. And, you know, next month we will have another food for thought, but this is what we're going to do for the next 30 days. Please go to our website and check it out. And, you know, today, thank you for listening to our station and coming in and listening to the different stories we have, different trends each week. Each time you listen to us, we try to bring the best trends out there. So, again, this is Brian, your host. Have a good day. Eat well and drive safe. Signing off from Flavor.